Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents...
Chrissy Teigen referred to Donald Trump as a pussy-ass bitch.
Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
I'm going to punch him out and I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
The Betches Sub-Podcast.
A speaker has not been elected.
Hello, this is the Betches Sub-Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. I'm Amanda Duberman, and I'm the news director at Betches. And for today's show, Elise Millie and I have an incredibly special interview for you. We were privileged and had the honor of interviewing Karine Jean-Pierre. She is, of course, the White House press secretary. We had a very fun, super fun, and wide-ranging conversation from how the White House press secretary has offered to provide consulting for Millie's dating life to just what it's like to be, you know, a fairly young woman at such a high level of politics. What are her fun days at work? What are her tough days at work like? What are her proudest moments like? What is that day-to-day like? And also, of course, get into her background and how this administration has tackled some of the issues that we know are super important to you. So take a listen.
Hi. First off, I have to say, as a fellow Hispaniola, sapase.
Sapule.
If you don't know, that is the Haitian Creole way to say, what's up?
Yeah, I can't be la.
No, I'm Dominican. So that is, as far as my... I know. I can't say anything. Well, I also grew up in Miami, so that's all I know. Okay. Is sapase and my three slang words.
You know what, Millie? That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
Millie did a casual introduction of our guest, which should be the most prominent Haitian American any of us know. But if you haven't guessed yet, for today's episode, we have a special interview. We are joined by White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Big Boss is out on the beach and you're doing press interviews. We love to see it.
Well, I appreciate that. And he deserves some downtime. So we're actually really, really excited that he's getting a little bit of that, but always working, obviously always working. But good to be on with you all. Hi.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Millie, take it away.
In my home, I don't know, city, town?
City, town.
We will get to some New York specific questions. Don't worry.
Because we're dying to know. Can you tell us about the first time you met now President Biden and what made that impression like last with you and what would you walk away from?
I love that question, Millie. It's such a good one. So I met then Vice President Biden in, I believe, 2009. I was traveling with him to New Jersey, and not as great as New York, but New Jersey. We still love New Jersey. We were going to celebrate Governor Corzine was the governor at the time, and he had just won the Democratic primary for his reelect. And I had the opportunity to travel with then Vice President Biden, and we were on Air Force Two. We were coming back from Air Force Two, and we were dropping him off in Delaware because, as you know, he, as a dad and a grandfather, he traveled to Delaware often,
famously.
He actually went home to Delaware every night. As senator, he went home to Delaware every night. And as vice president, he went every weekend or as often as he can. So we were headed to Delaware to drop him off on Air Force Two. And he sat right next to me. And it was one of the most amazing experiences that I will ever have with a politician. Because usually politicians, you know, it's very rare that you meet a politician that takes the time to get to know you, actually has a real conversation with you. And it was it was maybe like a 30 minute. I can't remember how long the ride. He sat next to me and wanted to know about me. He wanted to know where I was from. He started talking about Delaware because he loves Delaware, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How he started his career. And I had this wonderful dialogue with the vice president of the United States. And I was really young. I was coming into my own, coming into politics. And I will never forget, as I just said, I'll never forget that because it left an impression of him on me that was really special. And from there, we developed a really special friendship and working relationship throughout the administration. And I mean, from then since now. And so he is one of a kind. That's what I learned. And he truly cares clearly about Delaware, but he clearly cares about people. And that's one of the reasons I came back into the administration. That's one of the reasons I actually, you know, went to work for him in the 2020 campaign, because of who he is as a human, as a person, and how he connects with people.
Wow. Okay. Well, Delaware has been mentioned so many times. I'm a University of Delaware graduate, so I felt that I felt invoked by the mentions of Delaware. When I actually first got to University of Delaware, it was right before the 2008 election. And so while Obama was doing a speech in Philly, Joe Biden came to the UD campus. And as much as he loved Delaware, Delaware loved him back.
I mean, it's clear. There's a lot of Joe Biden love in Delaware, and Joe Biden loves Delaware right back. It's pretty lovely. It's a love affair for sure.
And I'll just say, just love affair, you know, as a single person dating, it is very rare to meet someone who asks you questions about yourself. So I can, as a politician and just in general,
makes an impression. Yeah.
Sounds like you have stories. I'm happy to help in your dating life. I'm pretty good at it. You could ask my chief of staff, Yemisi. I have given her some very good dating advice that she doesn't take, but I'm always right.
You know what? We could do an entire spinoff on dating advice from press secretary. And listen, honestly, we should do the one where you draft texts, because I bet you you're good at drafting.
I bet you are good
at drafting a text that gets to the point, but also is a little, you know, I bet you got it.
I think I can certainly be helpful there. I can certainly be helpful. As Yemisi, she is dying. She's practically on the floor. By me mentioning her lack of dating life, but it's okay.
So you gotta take Yemisi. You gotta listen. You gotta listen to the dating advice. She'll get it. She gonna learn, as they say in Miami.
But let me just say that Yemisi is a wonderful human, and just let me know. Drop me a line.
Okay. We will include her picture and all relevant info in the description of this podcast.
We'll put the word out. We'll put the word out.
And Millie, let me know. Let me know when you're ready. I'm happy to help you as well.
Yeah. No, wow. Then a dossier will come out of
I feel like the whole podcast has been leading up to this moment where Millie gets this dating advice.
I mean, that's a whole content stream. Amanda's just brewing it up right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the content. Betches and White House Press Secretary dating advice.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Okay, so in keeping with like big moments for you.
Yes.
Can you take us to like that moment you were first told you were going to be chosen to succeed Jen Psaki as press secretary? What was your reaction? Did you have any like trepidation in accepting the role?
So let me just first say, I love Jen Psaki. That's my girl. Mm-hmm. I miss her ton.
We love her too.
And she was a tremendous, amazing White House press secretary. And I learned a lot in being her principal deputy press secretary while she was here for a little bit over a year. So love her. So shout out to her. You know, it's a good question. I am still processing that moment. Because it happened so suddenly, so quickly, and it is one of those moments that I will probably will always process for the rest of my life. It really did happen quick. It happened very fast. I got called into the Oval Office. The president said to me, you know, I want you to be my White House press secretary. And I said, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Like something like that. Some conversation. I don't remember the exact words that I said. And it happened really fast. And it happened in a way that I was surprised how quickly it took off, like how quickly it became news, big news for people. And we were kind of joking in the beginning, you know, I represent many communities, you know, I'm clearly a Black woman. I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community. I'm a queer woman. You know, I come from a family of immigrants and that matters. That matters for so many people. And that is important for so many people for good reasons, because representation does matter. And I think people feeling like they can be seen does matter. And so this is an administration that does just that, make sure that people are seen, make sure that there is diversity, make sure that there are many voices at the table. And that's how I felt. I felt as the communities that I was bringing into this job, to be the voice and the spokesperson for the president of the United States as his White House press secretary, did just that. It's been an amazing experience, a special experience. It's been incredible. I really don't have the right words, to be quite honest, to explain it in its fullness, if you will. But I know what it meant for so many people and what it continues to mean for so many people that I have the honor of lifting up and representing every day at the podium.
Wow. Well, you already kind of brought this up and it might be a little redundant, but I'm dying to know. Again, like you've mentioned, this administration has rapidly made historic appointments, and you're the first, again, Black person and the first LGBTQ person to serve as White House press secretary. So you kind of mentioned it before, but just really want to get to like the heart of the issue of like, does this weigh on you and like the impact of how you approach your work? Like, I know that as a Black woman, like I also get worried about like, am I going to come off a little bit like angry Black, you know what I mean? Or stuff like that.
All the stereotypes that come with everything that we do in life, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So look, I'll say this. I look at this job by doing the job. Right. The president picked me for the job because he knew I can do the job. And I think that's the most important thing. And I know that my job is to represent him the best of my abilities, to make sure that I am speaking for him, because everything that I say is attributed to him. And so that's the most important thing, is that I do that in a way that's respectful, in a way that communicates to the American people, in a way that's lifting up the work that we're doing so that people know what is it that we're trying to do with this for this president. Whether we talked earlier, I heard you guys talk about Bidenomics, right? Which is something real, which is something that, and when I say something, meaning the president's economic policy is something that he thinks about in a real way to make sure that we do not leave anybody behind, that we build an economy that works from the bottom up, middle out. We hear us say that a lot, that an economy that's going to create good paying jobs, an economy that's going to make sure that wages stay up, right? An economy that's going to make sure that unemployment stays down. And that's what he's been doing. And whether it's in infrastructure, whether it's manufacturing jobs, that's what I'm trying to communicate every day. And that's my job. That is my number one job. And then on top of that is that, yes, I represent these important, impactful communities that is really part of the fabric of who we are as this country, right? This diversity that makes us stronger, that makes us, that gives this country strength. And so that is important to me. And I do carry that on my shoulder. And sometimes I'm not even going to carry on my shoulder. You just look at me, right? You see that I am a different press secretary than the 34 press secretaries that was at the podium before me. So it's all incredibly important to me, to this president. And I want to do it in every way as I'm speaking to the American people while I'm in the press briefing room. Clearly I'm talking to reporters, but I'm also trying to reach and talk to the American people, that I do it in a respectful way, that they feel that this administration is changing their lives, right? They feel like the Biden administration is working for them and also fighting for them. We are living in a time that we're probably never seen before, or haven't seen, I shouldn't say never seen before, but haven't seen in a long time. And, you know, we have to, and there are things that have occurred in the past couple of months that are shocking to everyone and scary to many people out there. And so I think hearing from this administration that we're fighting for them and that we're doing everything that we can to protect them, I think matters.
That leads me a little bit into our next question, because I feel like the times where we most often get to see you, especially us as like observers of the news, is usually during those like really heated or heavy moments. Sometimes it's a spicy exchange or something going viral. But I'd love to know, like, what are the days on your job where you get to have the most fun? Like, what's the most enjoyable part of your job for you? Because I feel like we don't always get to maybe see those moments.
What's your definition of fun, Elise?
It's giving dating advice to you.
You've been dating advice to Yemisi, how she went through the conversation. And I'm sure she knows.
I guess perks of the job. I don't know. Is it the Easter egg roll? I'm a DC girl, so I love an Easter egg roll. Look,
I think so. I have a 9-year-old amazing, amazing kid. And she gets to come to the White House, not often, but once in a while. And because of the type of environment that this administration is, like, family comes first, making sure our kids, like, we, you know, we show up for our kids. The president believes that we should show up for our kids for birthdays, for any important, you know, sports activities. And so there are times that she comes and she visits. And can you imagine at 9 years old, you're coming to the White House, hanging out at the West Wing, getting to, you know, getting to see the Oval Office, getting to see the briefing room, getting to walk around the West Wing and make friends and almost make the West Wing like an interesting adventure for her. And so she gets to do that. And that is actually something that gives me joy, that she gets to see this. And I don't know, you know, she's 9. So I don't think that she gets it quite yet. Mm-hmm. But when she's older, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, she'll get to have stories and tell stories about how she used to come to her mama's job and hang out and talk to, you know, whether it's the president or look for a commander or, yeah, or Willow, whatever
yeah.
think about at that age, and have those, you know, have those amazing, wonderful, and that gives me joy. That gives me happiness for her to have that experience. And another thing that I was able to do recently is back in December, well, not that recently, but back in December, I got to bring my mom to the first state dinner that we had here at the White House for this administration. And so she got to meet President Macron. She got to see the president. And it was wonderful for her to experience something really special that I was able to do for her. So those are the fun moments that we get to here at the White House. And I think many of us have those types of stories where they get mom or someone that they love to see where they work, to meet the people that they work with, and to have that experience, or to meet the president. Mm-hmm. And have that experience. And I think that's pretty special.
Yeah. I have kind of a related question, which is, I'm curious if you have a day where, what's been your proudest day at this job, or a day in recent memory where you just went home and were like, that was a good day. And it was only me in that position who could have made, you know, that positive impact.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I've had this, it was only me moment.
Yeah.
it takes all of us.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say is, you know, people see me at the podium and they only see me at the podium. Mm-hmm. every day, but it takes a village. It takes my whole entire team. I have an amazing team that works in the press office, that gets me ready, that gets me up to, up to snuff, ready to deliver at the podium. And I couldn't do it without them. So that's number one. I'm not doing it by myself.
Yeah.
There are other departments across the campus here at the White House who also play a really important role in making sure that I'm ready for whatever question that I'm going to get, and I have the answers that I need. And so that is really, really important. So it's never me alone. I will say, though, there's been some really special moments here that I think it would only have happened in this administration. I know I'm a little biased here, but I think once I tell you one of the stories, for example, getting Brittany Griner home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moments before, I think an hour or so, I shouldn't say moments, but an hour before I went to the briefing room, I was able to talk to Sherelle Griner, and I asked her, what is the message that you want us? I told her I was going to do a briefing. What is the message that you want me to share with the American people about today? And we talked about it, and she told me, and it was amazing that I was able to share that at the briefing room at the podium. So there's been moments like that that has really made this job very special, and being able to be the voice, or to be able to speak to that on behalf of the president, on behalf of the administration. Like, let's remember, like, the reason that happened. Yeah. And I, you know, we were thankful to Sherelle and everything that she was able to do to lift up and to fight for Brittany. And it also was my colleagues at the National Security Council, my colleagues at the State Department, the president's leadership that caused that to happen, and others, and many others. And so those things are really special. Those things are moments that I will never, ever, ever forget. And I get to be at the podium to deliver that news. And so that's pretty special. And there's been other moments, but that can actually give some color to, which was pretty amazing.
Do we have time for one more question?
Everybody said for one more.
Awesome. Millie, go for it.
Yeah, a la Scandal. I'm dying to know. By Scandal, I mean, you know.
Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm like, Kerry Washington Scandal. Like, I want to know what your go-to wind down routine is when you get home after a particularly eventful press briefing. And I said Scandal because I have clear memories of watching Kerry Washington in her all white outfit with a red cup of
wine. Don't we all?
A red glass of wine. So wondering if that's anything similar.
Let me be clear, that is not me.
You don't wear all white on your white couch and drink red wine?
I don't drink, so you never catch me with a glass of red wine. So that's number one. But and I love Kerry Washington. I think she's fantastic and amazing. And only Kerry Washington could be Kerry Washington. So I will not compare myself. But I'm pretty boring, guys. I wish I could say something really exciting. It's pretty boring. Mm-hmm. I hang out with my kid. You know, do dinner, make sure she takes her bath, make sure she goes to bed.
Answer more questions.
Answer more questions for the 9-year-old. I try to get sleep. I try to get to bed as early as I can to get some sleep, because I wake up at 4:30, 4:15.
Wow.
God. That's the most shocking part of the interview for me. Oh my God.
Yes. And so I have an early day and a long day.
Yeah.
And so I try to, you know, make my evenings productive, but relaxing, and check in with my family.
Yeah. I just am imagining your daughter asking like a very 9-year-old question, and you're preparing like the most like
binders.
White House response of like, well, you see, when chickens cross the road.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure. We will follow up with Millie's Tinder login credentials so that you can get going on that.
I'm here if you need me. I'm here for you, Millie.
Thank you.
I'm here for anyone out there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Be a flower girl at anybody's.
Wow.
You know, now you don't have to be six to be a flower girl. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No. And this is the true voice of American people.
Yeah, Millie, your wedding's going to be in Politico.
It's a thing now, but I'm happy. You know what I really want to do, guys? Mm-hmm. I actually want to marry people. Like, I actually want to.
Now. You can.
Yeah.
I'm an officiant at a wedding.
Yeah. People are going to be asking you for sure.
So I have asked many friends if I can officiate their weddings, and I've not gotten a yes yet. Although none of them are getting married anytime.
Well, that might be the problem.
In my wedding, whenever it happens,
really, I'm there for
I'm going to hit you up. Yeah. I swear.
I'm there for you. Let me officiate your wedding. It will be memorable. I promise you.
Well, I mean, my wedding's going to be memorable no matter what.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. This was so great.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.
That is our show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with a panel episode on Thursday. Until the end of democracy, for Elise Morales and Millie Tamaras, I'm Amanda Duberman, and this is the Betches Up Podcast. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com.
Betches.